francés.
Zahava Levine, and for the last 5 years, I was the chief counsel for YouTube and working for YouTube and Google. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit today. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about our business model and, equally important, the challenges that we face in growing our business model even larger than it is. But just by way of background, YouTube is the world's largest platform for viewing and sharing videos. To give you a sense of the scale, every minute, 24 hours of video is uploaded to YouTube. Every day, 2 billion views occur on YouTube globally. 350 million people tune into YouTube every month. And about 70% of our traffic is outside the United States. We're localized in 24 countries, and we're not localized in more than that, largely because of a lot of the licensing impediments that you've heard about already today, which I'm going to talk more about. Of course, the range of uses of YouTube is astounding, really democratizing media in terms of giving people access to whatever kind of information and education and entertainment they choose, providing a voice for people who may not otherwise have had an opportunity to be heard, providing a creative outlet for everybody, ranging from regular people, some of the examples that Larry Lessig showed, to emerging artists seeking to develop a new fan base, to large established artists with whom we do a lot of business. And for some, for many, it's just a way of sharing their personal experiences with their friends and their family. I should mention that none of this would be possible without the laws that protect YouTube and many, many internet companies from intermediary liability. That's to protect platforms from liability for the content posted by third parties. It's a real key to what has enabled YouTube would not be possible without it, and most of the internet would not be possible without it. I understand that a lot of WIPO member countries do not provide this kind of baseline protection for infrastructure providers and platform providers, and so I think that's just important to mention. But how have we built a business on top of this enormous and inspiring platform, and how do we enable our users to build a business from that as well? A large part of the answer to that question is in our content partnerships and in our licensing arrangements. We do a huge range of content partnerships, ranging from sort of more traditional licensing of audiovisual works, music videos, audiovisual works from TV studios, clips from movies, and also made for content that's specifically made for the internet. It might be how to grill a steak or how to dance the tango. There's the range of audiovisual works that we license is enormous. We're not the first website. We might be the largest website to aggregate that content and license it, but we're not the first website to just take audiovisual content and bring it online. What is unique and new and really challenging about our licensing system is the next part of what I'm going to talk about, which is identifying third-party content that's incorporated into user-uploaded video and finding the rights holders that might own that content and giving them choices about what they would like to do with that content on YouTube. And sometimes that might be to block it, and sometimes, and turns out most of the time, the preferred route of rights owners is to license it, meaning once we identify the rights owner in that content, we sell ads around the content, we share the revenue. Most of the business model is an ad-supported model, as Francis mentioned, for both kinds of video, the type that we wholesale license in directly from the rights owners, and the kind that we, and around user-generated video, once we've identified third-party rights owners who have provided a license to us. How do we do that? The basis for identifying third-party content, and a lot of it is music content, is through our content identification system. So I just want to talk for a minute about that. The content identification system is a system that enables rights owners to identify audiovisual content or just sound recording content that's embedded in third-party videos and provide to us instructions on what they want to do once we've identified it. The way it works is the rights owner would sends to us reference files of either audiovisual content or in the case of music, sound recordings. We store these reference files in a database in the back end, and every single time a video is uploaded to YouTube, we compare that video against our entire database of reference files. And when there's a match, we apply what we call the usage policy, which is the instructions that were provided to us from the rights owner about what they want to do when we identify their content on YouTube. And we're open to all choices. The rights owner, as I said, could block it, in which case it never shows up on YouTube. Or it turns out most rights owners are saying, I would like to avail myself of, take advantage of the fans on YouTube and make money from this content. So once you identify it, sell ads, and let's share in the revenue. And we have those types of agreements in place with over 1,000 partners, including all the major record labels, a lot of indie record labels, and a lot of music publishers. It has the system that we've built has to account for some of the industry complexities in terms of territorial rights, who owns what where, in terms of providing a dispute procedure if it turns out that the user thinks there was a mistake and the person that's claiming the content, the third party rights owner that's claiming the content, doesn't own it, or the user had a license, or you know, there's a lot of complexity built in to track the industry realities. But based on this system of monetization, we're earning a lot of money for rights owners. The majority of all the money goes to the rights owners. And while I'm proud of this accomplishment, and it was not difficult, I mean, it was not easy at all to enter into agreements to enable this kind of broad and free licensing, and I applaud the rights owners that have joined us in experimenting with this. What's more interesting, perhaps, than our successes is the unrealized potential. Millions of dollars on YouTube alone is sitting on the table, unearned by either YouTube or rights owners, because of the complexity of music licensing and content licensing generally, but in particular music licensing that we have today. So it's this Byzantine maze of music licensing. So in each video, there's multiple rights owners. There's the owner of the visual. So let's just take, for an example, a typical video, which is a user-created video. Maybe it's a video of a birthday party of the uploader's children at their home, in which they've put a commercial sound recording, their favorite hit song, in the background. So the user took the video and owns the visual portion. The record label owns the commercial sound recording that's embedded in it. And then there's music publishers, often more than one, often two, three, or four music publishers that own the music publishing in that same video. And that's in one country. All of those rights owners might change from country to country. So our challenge is to identify who owns each of those various rights and then to go strike licenses for all of them, because unless we have all of them, our policy is not to sell ads around it, not to monetize that content. We don't make money from content unless the creators of that content also make money. So it is very, very difficult. Today, not only do we have to go country by country and deal with the collection societies in each country, which we've done, but what's happening is in Europe, a lot of the publishers are withdrawing some of their rights from the collection societies. And so we need to now know what songs do you, collection society, control, and what songs do you, publisher, that's withdrawn your rights from these societies, control. And there is no publicly available comprehensive database that provides us with this information. There is no way for us to know in a given country who owns what, which has severely limited our ability to monetize video, and it's leave millions of dollars on the table. In addition, there are antiquated licensing laws relating to what kinds of rights are even needed, whether, you know, we've identified this composition, Well, in some countries, you have to go to one place for performing the composition and for another to another agency if we're reproducing the composition. Well, what is a stream of a video? Is it a performance? Is it a reproduction? There's a lot of arguments that it's both, which means that we have to go to, for each composition that might be owned by three different entities, we have to go to two different, for each portions of that, we have to go to two different entities in all these different countries. It's really a nightmare. It is a Byzantine maze, to steal Joe's phrase. And if we do not fix it, if we do not simplify licensing to become more efficient and at a very minimum and a very first step, create a global rights database that is going to give transparency into who owns what, we will continue to leave millions and millions of dollars on the table for services who, even if they hire, you know, it doesn't matter how many lawyers they hire to try to do these deals, the system is not set up. It does not permit us to maximize the economic benefit to rights owners generally.
Thank you very much.